Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome to Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my guests, Dan and Christine Strugel, from Our Lady of Perpetual Help, who are involved with the Bay Area Hospital Ministry. How are you two?
Fine, thank you.
Good, thank you.
Well, I'm excited to have you here, and I'm excited to hear what type of ministry you're doing in the hospital. At one point, I was a chaplain in a hospital doing an internship, and I really enjoyed myself, so I'm looking forward to hearing your experiences. Before we get started, though, can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, we've been married. It'll be 16 years this year.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you this month. And we have been parishioners at Our Lady of Perpetual Help since 2002. December of 2002, we moved back from Michigan. So.
Okay. Is this your hometown?
It is my hometown, but not Dan's.
I'm from Ohio.
Okay. So now you're in the deep part of Texas.
Yes.
Well, wonderful. I know that Our Lady of Perpetual Help is alive and active and vibrant parish, and they would, of course, have a ministry in hospitals. So tell me, how did you get involved in hospital ministry?
Well, Dan and I were talking about that on our way here, and we decided we were going to mention the two people who were directly responsible, and that was Deacon Manny Marroquin and Deacon Ron Martinez. Upon the retirement of the previous coordinator, offered us the opportunity to coordinate the ministry at Our Lady of Perpetual Help. We were already part of the ministry, serving on one of the teams that provided services on every third Sunday. And so then they offered us the opportunity to be coordinators, and that was about 4 years ago, maybe.
Well, I was close. I was thinking a priest invited you, but it was a deacon. So it's good that it's really good to build that relationship and invite people into ministry with you instead of just casting out the net and seeing who shows up. I mean, it's good that he knew your intentions, you were already involved, and they trusted that you would continue being fruitful in the ministry. So let's go ahead and get down to specifics then. What type of ministry is this Bay Area Hospital Ministry?
Bay Area Hospital Ministry, on Sundays after our 9 o'clock Mass, we'll take Jesus in the form of Holy Communion and the body to the patients that are registered Catholic. When we enter the room, some of the patients aren't able to receive Jesus due to various reasons. Maybe they haven't gone to confession. Maybe they're not able to take anything by mouth. So if we're not able to offer Jesus to the patient, then we pray with the patient at that time.
So then this is a ministry where you visit the patients in the hospital and you offer Christ in the Holy Eucharist.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes.
And then the patients are able to receive communion because they're not able to go to Mass. And some of them, I'm sure, are weekly or even daily Mass goers. And so that is something that I'm sure they missed. As a matter of fact, I was in the hospital on bedridden for 11 weeks, and it was the chaplains that kept me going, and they were able to provide that ministry, and it was so beneficial.
Yes.
What attracts you then to this type of ministry? Why did you get involved in the first place, apart from being invited?
I would say for me personally, I was in Bay Area once, inpatient, and someone came and offered me the Eucharist, and I was so happy to see them and so excited to be able to receive Jesus. And thinking about that and thinking about how much it meant to me, I thought, well, if they need people to do that, and if I can bring that same joy to somebody, then that was something I wanted to do. And so that was definitely the catalyst for me.
Well, great minds think alike, because after I was on bed rest for 11 weeks, that's when I said, I want to do this for someone else. And those on calls as a chaplain were something else. But anyway, Dan, how about yourself?
There was a bulletin advertisement about joining the hospital ministry, and I thought about Jesus. When did you visit me in prison, or when did you visit me sick or in the hospital? And I thought, you know, that's something I should try. And I tried it, and I get so much more out of it than put in. It's sometimes a sacrifice to go to the hospital, but I'm getting more out of it than what I put in. So.
And it's also great, at least in my opinion, that y'all are doing it as husband and wife, and that you're able to minister as a team and grow in faith as a team and support each other, because I can imagine people that are in the hospital are going through difficult times. Can you speak to that?
Definitely. You know, when we first started volunteering, before we were coordinating, we would visit rooms together. And after we started coordinating and kind of substituting and trying to recruit people, we realized we could see more people if we each went to different parts of the hospital, and so that's what we started doing. And it was interesting, the different experiences we had when we were serving as a couple and then separately.
Well, without breaking confidentiality, I'd like for you to share maybe the hospital environment, what some people are experiencing, and then I'd like to ask you if there are any particular stories that really just stand out in your memory of when you took Christ to someone in the Holy Eucharist and that just really made their day. I'm sure it makes everyone's day, but it just really turned them around. So go ahead and share with me, what type of environment do you run into when you go to the hospitals?
When you enter a room, you really sometimes have to be prepared for a wide range of emotions. Some of the patients are very happy to see you, ecstatic that you're bringing Jesus. Then others are registered Catholic, haven't been to church for many years, and this is maybe an opportunity for you to evangelize them in a subtle way. Maybe when they get out, they can remember this experience and go back to church. And then there's some people, you can tell they're maybe angry with God, and so they're not as happy to see you as you might expect them to be. So we pray for everybody in the hospital. And, you know, when we're there, we offer Jesus. And if they're not able to take Jesus, whether, you know, they haven't gone confession or they can't take anything by mouth, we pray with them. And just as praying with them, people are very, very happy.
They're consoled, I bet, through that prayer.
Just the other week, I was in the hospital and just prayed with somebody. He wasn't able to take Jesus, and he just started crying. Just, I think, someone saw him. Someone was concerned about him. Someone was caring enough to pray with them. We'll pray the Our Father, a Hail Mary, and a prayer for the sick. And we usually leave a rosary with them. So I think it's a way to bring them back to church if they haven't gone, a way to introduce them to the rosary and to Mary, and a subtle evangelizing them. We leave them a church bulletin. So invitation to come to our church, and hopefully if not our church, another church.
You know, you just brought a fond memory to my mind. When I was a chaplain, I remember going into a room, and like you said, some people are happy to see you, some are not. And so I went into this room. A gentleman was laying down on the bed, and he had his TV on, and he said, "I don't want to have anything to do with you. If you're a chaplain, I don't want to know anything about you." And I said, "No, I didn't come in here as a chaplain. I just came in here to see what show you were watching." And I don't know if that was the right thing to say, but I know that he was upset, and even just the word chaplain upset him. And so I just said, "I'm just here to see how you're doing and what show you're watching." But he eventually told me that the reason he was unhappy was because his daughter had become a chaplain, and but her way of presenting the gospel was very negative, and so it really turned off a lot of his family members, and you either do this or you will go to hell. And so he just wanted to have nothing to do with me, and so we had a good conversation, And I think at the end of the day, he was probably happy that he had a presence of another person there. So I'm glad that you're sharing that. What about yourself? What do you see when you just first enter that hospital? There's different smells. There's different personnel. There's different stories.
Well, you know, I've worked in hospitals before, so I'm used to it. It kind of feels like home in a strange way. I'm usually, I like Dan said, I don't know what to expect. I just kind of try to be open to whatever experience is behind the door. Mm-hmm. And there's so many things, so many experiences that it's hard to pick just one. But I know that for me, I enjoy going to, at Bay Area, the second floor is the women's floor. And so oftentimes there are people who have experienced the joy of
birth.
Yeah. And that's a beautiful thing. And so oftentimes you'll have a room full of very happy people, but not always. And the thing about that is, and I know I mentioned my hospitalization at Bay Area before, and so it's interesting to me to go to the second floor because we experienced the loss of our children, and that's what I was at the hospital for. And so when I was an inpatient. And so for me, I can really connect with those families who maybe aren't as joyful and maybe aren't experiencing the blessing of a child, but maybe are experiencing the loss or the grief associated with losing a child. And so, you know, all of these things, to be able to connect with people in different ways and meet them where they are, they're all just beautiful experiences. But I think given the experiences that Dan and that you have shared and that I have experienced, the one thing that I can say is that a smile goes a long way.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about the second floor and smiles. Stay with us.
This is Labors of Love. Behold, I make all things new. Catholic Charismatic Renewal of the Diocese of Corpus Christi will present their 2013 Catholic Charismatic Conference, Saturday, June 15th at Most Precious Blood Church, 3502 Saratoga. Activities will begin with Holy Mass at 8:30 a.m. Keynote speaker for the conference will be Walter Matthews, Executive Director of the CCR National Service Committee. Other speakers include Father Robert Guetta, Father Jose Naul Ordonez, and Father Julian Cabrera. Events will be presented in both English and Spanish, including praise and worship and a healing service. For tickets and more information, call Catholic Charismatic Renewal, 850-3281.
Welcome back to Labors of Love. Again, I'm your host, Margaret Alaria, and I'm here with Dan and Christine Strugel from Our Lady of Perpetual Help. We've had a great conversation. We've been speaking about bringing Christ and the Holy Eucharist to people at Bay Area Hospital Ministry. You all are the coordinators for that. And when we left before the break, we spoke about smiles and we spoke about the second floor, and I just wanted to continue that conversation. The reason why I'm excited about this is because, like you, when I was a chaplain, I was very attracted to mothers that were pregnant or mothers that perhaps had lost a child. I was very attracted to the NICU and the babies in the NICU, and even the babies that were in the in regular care in the nursery. Because during those 11 weeks, I was pregnant with my daughter, and I almost lost her because I have what's called an incompetent cervix. And so she almost came at 21 weeks. Thank God that we were able to keep her with us until 32 weeks, and then we had her. And so when I wanted to give back, that was an area, like yourself, that I wanted to go to. So if you don't mind just continuing that conversation about smiles and that second floor.
Well, one of the areas that I have to admit I was, well, we were both, I think, reluctant to go to was the area where birth is imminent. And moms are just about to give birth. And so we were a bit hesitant about going into those rooms, and we'll always talk with the nurses and make sure that they check to see if they're up for a visitor, the mothers are up for a visitor. And one of the greatest things is being able to visit these moms who sometimes the emotions run the gamut. I mean, they might be
happy, sad,
scared,
upset.
You know, there might be a room full of people. There might not be. Mm-hmm. And so it's always nice to visit with them, because usually when they say it's okay for me to go in there, they are usually pretty happy to see me and to see somebody and a smiling face. And
So then are you telling me that they might be in active labor, but you're there saying, would you like to receive Christ?
Yes.
And you're there. I think that is special. I mean, I've never heard of that. And the fact is that that is a wonderful moment to reunite with Christ if maybe they've been fallen away, and some of them are scared, and so they're able to receive the strength of the Eucharist.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you, Dan, what areas are particularly let me rephrase that. What areas do you enjoy visiting?
Well, Christine goes to the Berea Hospital where life is beginning. I'm seeing a different view of the hospital. I go to Berea, has a what's called the Heart Hospital, and I'm seeing the patients that have gotten are usually a little older than giving birth. Usually. A little higher, more experienced in age.
There we go.
And usually just had some type of serious cardiac surgery. Now, I never know what it is, but it's usually pretty serious. I go to one wing, that's the intensive care, and sometimes I'm able to pray with the patients there, but these people have just came out of surgery rather recently, and a lot of times they're on oxygen or probably spend most of their day sleeping in recovery. Now, there's another part of the Heart Hospital, the fourth floor, we'll also visit. And these people have recovered a little more, so I'm a lot of times are often able to offer Jesus to them and pray with them. And a lot of times these people are thankful. You know, they're starting to recover from surgery and starting to get better. So they're very thankful to see you, and a lot of times giving thanks to God and just happy to see you and pray with you.
You know, I can imagine that some of the families in the hospitals don't have anyone to visit them. And so you are that face when they open their eyes and they're in recovery. A lot of people want prayer before their surgery and to see someone afterwards and to be able to maybe receive Christ or just pray with someone is so important. So thank God for people like yourselves who are willing to take the time and be in this type of ministry, because it's not easy. It's not everyone can walk into a hospital, and it's different from going into a home and offering Christ or even just being in the church environment. We're comfortable with that, but then being in the hospital is completely different. I'd like to spend the next few moments then talking about maybe that one experience or two experiences where you just really interacted with someone and really connected, and you left maybe a different person. Go ahead, Christine.
Well, you know, there's so many experiences. I think there was one experience, one of my last experiences recently, and where I went into the room, and I was hobbling a little bit. I was having my own little aches and pains, and the person who was visiting the patient noted that, and I don't know how, but it suddenly the visit became about me.
Okay.
It was strange because that had never happened before. And then it became about the churches we attended, and then it became, and before I realized it, I had been there for, 15 to 20 minutes, which is a pretty long visit for us. And I had been laughing and crying, and it was just a great visit, and because they were so open and so happy to have Jesus there. And I ended up giving communion to the patient and also to the family member who was there, because the family member was staying with them around the clock. And so we are able to do that when that's the case.
So you're able to minister to the families too, not just the patient.
Yeah, and wonderful. So that was a really fun visit.
I wonder if that was God's way of saying you need to be taken care of too. What about yourself, Dan? What is there that one experience that really stands out?
There's been a couple experiences, but a couple that stand out when the patients told me a story where this hospital stay was unexpected, and he's had this cardiac surgery. And, you know, rather serious, and he's laying there recovering, and he'll tell me a story. You know, I was at work, and I was working. All of a sudden, I didn't feel well, and next thing I know, I'm recovering here in the hospital. And it sort of reiterates to me where, you know, thankfully he's recovering, but you're never really guaranteed tomorrow. And the part of the hospital I go to, sometimes I do see that where the person's sort of on the last step of the journey, and we might be giving Jesus to them for the last time on their journey. And it reiterates to me, and I forget sometimes what really is important in life day to day. I might get upset with that, and then you go to the hospital, and it drives home what really is important in life, and what my goals really should be of getting to heaven. And trying to get my wife Christine there, working on that.
But he's working on that. Good. I'm glad.
But it drives home that we're not any of us guaranteed tomorrow. And when I go to the hospital and minister someone, it reminds me of that every week, in case I've forgotten it.
So it really puts things in perspective. We do get caught up with the day to day, and we forget that we are here out of love from God, and we're called to love Him back. And to love one another. Yes. And the day-to-day does just, it really brings us down sometimes. And so things are put into perspective when you visit these patients. And I imagine you grow from that as a human being, as a person.
Well, definitely. And one thing you asked is, what do you see when you first open the door? And, you know, I forgot to mention that what I see is the face of Jesus. And I keep that in mind all the time. I know he's with us when we're there, but and helping us serve. But I also know that he's there with the patients as well and their families. So.
Well, thank you so much, Dan and Christine. I thank you for your ministry, and I pray that you continue visiting people for many more years. Stay with us. Sacred Moments with Deacon Nolte is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
An old comic strip shows two men drinking in a bar. One says to the other, "You know, women are all alike." His friend replies, "No, they're not." Then the first man asks the other, "How would you know? You've been married almost all of your life." And the second retorts, "How would you know? You've never had a date." The next scene shows the men sitting, looking into their drinks. Finally, the first man says, "I wonder what women are really like." And the second replies, "Who knows?" This cartoon serves to frame larger questions than who knows what women, or men for that matter, are really like. It directs us to seek truths that are larger than what we readily see. These truths concern the purpose of our existence and the reason for being male or female. In A Theology of the Body, Blessed John Paul II leads us into the depths of the Word of God so that we won't fail to let it penetrate our life, but rather will be changed by its truth. Reflecting on the words of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, John Paul II found himself directed back to the book of Genesis. It is from there that he speaks to us. We are all familiar with the events in Genesis chapter 3, even if we don't know which chapter it is. If you were asked to fill in the blank that follows the word original, most of us would immediately respond with the word sin. We've all heard about original sin, even if we don't really fully understand it. Well, in John Paul II's teachings, he proposes to us that there were actually three original experiences of man that occurred before original sin, and these three experiences tell us what God created us for. According to his understanding, the last eight verses of chapter 2 reveal to us that God created man to be different from the rest of creation in a way that allows mankind to image God. In verses 18 through 20, we find the original experience of solitude. This is an experience that informs man that he is capable of knowing that he is not like the cattle or the birds of the air. He alone can know himself and know God. We are reminded of other words which say we are to know and love God with our whole mind, with all of our might, and with all our soul. The next four verses tell of the creation of woman from the side of man, and how they are meant to cling to one another, becoming one. This is the experience of unity, and it calls us to live in a relationship with one another, even as God does in the mystery of the Trinity. The last verse of the chapter speaks of the man and woman being naked, yet knowing no shame. It refers to the original innocence that mankind knew before sin distorted his way of knowing and being. The man and woman saw one another in the light of all the beauty they were created to image, the image of unity among persons and knowing themselves in God, even as God himself does. In Matthew, Jesus tells the Pharisees and us that we need to go back to the beginning and discover how God wants us to live our lives in accordance with his original plan. May the sacred moments of your life always lead you back to the true purpose for which God created you, and may you always lead others to his truth. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guests Dan and Christine Strugel with Our Lady of Perpetual Help and the Bay Area Hospital Ministry. If you would like more information, please contact OLPH at 361-991-7891. Thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.